You've read and heard from all the others. Now the real story on today's biggest topics. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
And if you just hang in there, life is gonna work it out. Help is on the way from places you don't know about today. From friends you may not have met yet, believe me when I say I know help is on the way.
Some of that magnificent, beautiful music of our next guest, David Friedman, which frankly I could just listen to forever. Just turn off the radio and just let me immerse myself in the mood and the music and the beauty, David,
of your creation.
Now, you wrote that song, you orchestrated, you produced the album that Nancy Lamott sang it on. Were you also the pianist?
No, that was Christopher Marlowe, who was her longtime pianist, and he actually created that arrangement. I wrote it as like a straightforward ballad, and all that thum, bum, bum, bum is Chris.
Wow, it's beautiful.
People, they enhance you, you know.
They totally, totally do. So, David Friedman, first of all, it's been too long.
Yeah,
how are you?
Go for a walk. I'm good. We're all vaccinated over here, and, you know, we're getting out and being safe still. But we're doing okay. We're busy. We're working. We're, you know, we've been some of the lucky ones. You know, it's been different for everybody.
Well, let me ask you this, David. You sort of have your ear to the nose professionally and personally about theater.
Mm-hmm.
When are we going to get back in a theater, in an indoor theater?
I think if things go smoothly, you know, October-ish, we should start seeing Broadway open. And there's so many issues. Like if they have to do social distancing, how do they make it work financially? I mean, it's, you know, it's Broadway's expensive, and so I think we're going to have a whole year of figuring this out, but I think we'll start seeing Broadway. I think the Princess Diana musical is opening in October, and other things are talking about opening in the fall. So
is that good, by the way?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Oh, I thought maybe you'd heard it. Because I thought maybe it opened and closed like in a nanosecond.
My friend Judy Kaye is playing Queen Elizabeth, and she's brilliant.
Really?
Tony.
Oh, she is brilliant.
Yes, she is.
It'll be interesting
to see who goes, and it'll be interesting to see what they charge. I mean, I'd hope that there'd be some subsidizing of theater so that they can get moving. But it's going to be a new world.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be in the seat because I'm vaccinated. I'm happy to wear a mask for a couple of hours, and I just can't wait to see the theater again. I will be there.
Yeah, me too.
For sure.
Yeah.
So tell me about Help Is On The Way. You've written some wonderful compilations. You've written How We Met, and you write these wonderful books that are not bite-sized, but almost bite-sized, in that you can read them and enjoy them and immerse yourself in them for a while, or pick them up or put them down just to get some encouragement.
My dream for this book is it's in every bathroom in the country.
There it is. The bathroom book.
Yeah,
and so what is Help Is On The Way? What are the stories?
Last year, a couple of years ago, I took my song, We Can Be Kind, and I took each line of the song and made it a chapter, and then shared stories and anecdotes and advice on that subject. And so it was so successful that I thought my song Help Is On The Way, which is, you know, Nancy Lamott's signature song, and it's been the theme song for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS for the last 25 years. And it's been used to give a lot of hope to people. And so I did the same thing with the song. And the interesting thing about the book, you see, it's the book is really more than anything about a mindset. It's about that always remembering that no matter what's going on, there are possibilities that exist. There is help that you, and the subtitle is Help Is On The Way from Places You Don't Know About Today, which is the second line of the chorus. And so it's that whatever circumstance you're in, there can be help. Like, I remember one of the stories many years ago, I was going through some, I don't remember what it was, but it was some disaster. I'd lost all my money or someone broke up with me. I don't know what it was. And I was in my 30s, and I was just hopeless. And my father said to me, David, you know, I really feel for you that you're going through this, but if I don't seem particularly upset, it's not because I don't care. It's because from where I sit, I know it's going to be fine. And so there are all sorts of stories about how things happen that you didn't expect. Things happen serendipitously. Opening your
mind.
Well,
let me ask you about that. Wait. So, David, yeah. When your father said that to you, were those the words that you needed to hear?
Yes.
And that sort of spoke to your subconscious to say, you know what, if my father believes it, it is going to be okay.
Absolutely. And just that, you know, that there's, you know, what it is that, and this is so important in everything we do, there are, most of the world functions outside of our consciousness. So
yes.
There, we have to remember, there are things we don't know. There are, you know, someone will say, like I was in a workshop and they were talking about tithing, giving 10% back to your spiritual source. And this one guy raised his hand and said, I am on a certain income and that's the only place I can get money from. My salary is just what it is and there's no more money available. And I looked at him and I said, really? He said, yes, it's not possible for any more money to come in. And I took a $10 bill out of my wallet and I said, here. He said, what's it? I said, it's $10. You just got $10 you didn't expect. And when he took on that mindset, he got a big bonus that year. He got an inheritance. He got a... So we tend to limit our thoughts to our history or to our damage, if it were. And when we just open up and say, it is possible that there is a solution I never thought of, or that someone could call me out of the blue and come up with something. Like when the pandemic started, I made a decision. I'm going to sit back, open up, and see what the universe has for me. And all sorts of opportunities I didn't expect showed up from out of nowhere. So it's more about your thinking than about a how-to book, you know, about do this. And it's also about how to be helpful to other people. So, you know, someone comes to you and needs something. If you can provide it, provide it. If you see someone who you can recommend to someone else, recommend it, do it, because in that way, you're creating a world for everybody, including yourself, in which these things happen.
We're chatting with David Friedman. The book is Help Is On The Way. David Friedman is a brilliant composer, a brilliant arranger. Some of the most favorite Disney soundtracks of your life, I guarantee, were created out of whole cloth because of David Friedman in the studio orchestrating and arranging, including Angela Lansbury singing A Tale As Old As Time, which I always associate with you now, David, because you made that happen.
Well, yeah, she didn't want to do it, and I got her to do it. And then what you hear in the movie is she's sitting looking at me, singing it to me. That was the highlight of my life.
I mean, that's got to be. She's still alive, Angela Lansbury.
She sure
she's
is.
So
she's
remarkable.
In her 90s, yeah. Yeah, very much alive.
What a career. You know, she was in National Velvet. Whenever I watch National Velvet with Elizabeth Taylor, I see her there, and I'm like, are you kidding me? That's Angela Lansbury.
Yeah.
She's the older sister in National Velvet. She must be the only one left alive from that.
And she's the most lovely, human, warm person,
really?
You know, down to earth. Oh, delightful. Delightful.
We're chatting. Hey, David, a little bit aside, then we're going to come back to Help Is On The Way. Did you watch the Oscars?
I didn't. I wasn't interested.
Me neither. No. Me neither.
No, I hadn't. You know, I hadn't seen the movies, and I didn't. it was very interesting. I sort of didn't care.
But David, for us, you and I are cinephiles. We share a shared history of film and entertainment and Oscars and Academy Awards and gowns and all that crap. I wasn't interested either. They had the lowest amount of audience in history. I saw this morning they had inched above 10 million, but initially they thought it was only 9 million. It's become like a nothing, like a nothing.
Well, you know, in my business, I mean, listen, awards are a sort of weird publicity thing. Now, when I did our show Desperate Measures, and I won the Drama Desk, and I won the Outer Critics Circle, I was thrilled. You know, I mean, it was like,
me
give
too.
Me the award. But it really, it's sort of, it's a weird thing to have a competition, to have, you know, a winner, like, you know, was Anthony Hopkins better than Chadwick Boseman? You know, I mean, it's just so.
Well, every year that's what happens. But I know it's a self-serving exercise to bring eyeballs to a lot of these films that otherwise no one would have heard of.
Yeah, and it's good for that. But I just find for me, there's a part of me that's like, that gets irritated. It's like, let me just do my work and not. You know, worry about that. But, yeah, but this year, I mean, you know, the movies, people weren't, like, for instance, I'm a SAG Awards voter, so they send me all the movies at home. But I'm seeing them all on Netflix anyway. You know, I didn't need it. Usually it's like, oh, we got all these movies. We can watch them. But this year we were at home and everything was in our home. It was a different, so, yeah. I was not interested.
But you know, the reason I bring it up is because you're a professional, you're in the world of show business.
Mm-hmm.
And to a large extent, your oeuvre has become more available to people through Disney Plus. And
absolutely.
I want people to know when they're watching Disney, just go down the laundry list of some of the movies that you've had a hand in.
Well, I conducted the orchestras and did all the vocal arrangements, anything you hear chorally, and worked with the soloists on Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Pocahontas, Hunchback of Notre Dame. I did some work on Mulan. I wrote songs for the Lizzie McGuire movie, Aladdin and the King of Thieves. There's a lot of, I figure about 150 million pieces of product have my name on them, let's put it that way.
Pocahontas, The Color of the Wind. Is that what it's called?
The Color of the Wind, yes.
The what a beautiful song. Oh, that's a beautiful song.
That was a great day in the studio, and Judy Kuhn sings it so beautifully.
Oh.
Those were fun gigs. I mean, you had big orchestras, you had the best people, and I'm really grateful that I got to do that. And
so, David Friedman, so tell me about Help Is On The Way this year. The book that you've compiled, which is, you know, basically based on the lyrics of all of your wonderful lyrics, which are basically messages from the universe. They're amazingly encouraging and wonderful. Talk to us a little bit about some more of the stories that are in Help Is On The Way.
Well, for instance, there's one of my favorite stories about, you know, asking and just keeping on asking. And I, you know, when I've done shows, a lot of what you have to do is raise money. And you feel very, oh, you're just asking people for money. And when you do that, you get a lot of no's. And so this is when people say, how do you keep going? I said, this is my fundraising parable. Two guys meet on the street. They haven't seen each other in 20 years. And they're talking, how are you? What are you doing? Are you, you know, what's your job, et cetera. And then they get more personal. And one of them says, how's your sex life? And he says, ah, my sex life is fantastic. I get laid all the time. And he says, really? What's your technique? And he says, I stand on the street corner, and every person who passes, I say, hey, want to have sex? And he says, oh, my God, you must be screamed at and hit and yelled at. He said, yeah, but I get laid a lot, too. So it's like, keep asking. Keep taking the nose. Keep taking the... there's another story that's one of my favorite. It's an old Buddhist story. And it's... there's a poor farmer. And one day, a beautiful horse just shows up at his farm. And he says, how wonderful that this horse showed up. I needed a horse. And the wise Buddha says, maybe good, maybe not. The next day, the farmer's son is riding the horse, and he falls off, and he breaks his leg. And the farmer says, how terrible that this, you know, horse came so my son should fall off and break his leg. How terrible. And the Buddha says, maybe bad, maybe not. Next day, the army conscription officer comes and drafts all the boys in the town except his son because he has a broken leg. So the guy says, how wonderful that horse came so my son should break his leg so he doesn't have to go to the army. And the point of the story is nothing is intrinsically good or bad. Like you could say, on my way to becoming a multimillionaire, I lost all my money. Everything is just in a continuum and doesn't in any way mean anything for the future. It can all be part of whatever story you're in. So it's stories like that that just give you a different perspective. Like, for instance, one of my favorites is if you're tossing a coin and you toss tails 5,000 times in a row, what are the odds that you'll toss heads on the next toss?
Same 50-50.
That's right. And so, but if you toss tails, never mind 5,000, maybe 20 times, you'd start to say, oh, I can never toss heads. It never happens to me. But really, the odds haven't changed. So
that's
when we notice that we shut down.
That's a good one. I like that one, David.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we decide things that are just not true. And based on our past, we shrink from it. So this book says, you know, open up to possibilities and you know, see that. And it's just all these encouraging. And one of the pieces of advice I give is if, like the story about my father, if someone is, you know, having something disastrous and you know a story about someone who got through it, like Laurie Beachman, you know, brilliant singer. And Laurie Beachman was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, fourth stage. And the doctor said, there's a 5% six-month survival rate. And then said, and you could be part of that 5%. And she lived 9 years and starred in Les Mis and got married
did
and did
really?
Cast on Broadway and sang at Clinton's second inauguration. Yep.
Really?
And so all to...
But she didn't. But she couldn't sing Borrow Time, your song. That she couldn't bring herself to do.
We Live on Borrowed Time. I wrote for her, and then she couldn't sing it. Yeah, she just...
I love that song.
She asked me to write it, and then she... about her cancer, actually.
Right.
And then I gave it to Nancy Lamont because she couldn't sing it. But, but so, you know, it's all of this realizing that it's about your mind. And the stories are just, you know, I say pick it up and get encouragement. And so so the book comes out tomorrow on Amazon. And my publisher said,
I have to get, actually, I'm going to get more than one copy. I think I'm going to buy a
few
and distribute it to people that I really, as you said, bathroom reading, but, you know, reading. In other words, just in that moment when you're having a cup of coffee, because I agree with you that stories and parables, they stay in our minds for just enough time. And sometimes they are exactly the thought we need to respond in an optimistic way to something.
Yeah,
exactly.
And, you know,
what
that's what the Bible is. Well, what the Bible is, I mean, that's the way, what is it called? Mizrach, I think. That was the method.
The Midrash.
That was the method of teaching.
Yes.
Was parable and stories. Mm-hmm. And so it, you know, whether or not these stories actually happened, and you can believe either way, the stories hold because they're designed to take hold in you. And that's what, you know, in Help Is on the Way, it's like, if you can hear a story about something you're having trouble with and go, oh, this is encouraging. This is I have the story. Do you remember when Ruth Gordon won the Oscar at 73?
Yeah.
And she got up there and she said, well, this is encouraging.
Yeah. I love that. Was that Harold and Maude? What did she win it for? Was it Harold and Maude?
Harold and Maude, I think. Yeah.
Harold and Maude. Oh, yeah. Well, this is a, you've got to love that. What a wit. What a wit.
And one of my favorite things she ever said, Ruth Gordon said, no matter what, never face the facts.
I love that.
Yeah.
Face the facts. So, I need to remember that, you know, because I get too serious sometimes.
Yeah.
I need to remember that.
This means this. And mm-hmm. it doesn't. Our mind starts to limit us. And so what the book is saying is, like, I have one story. My friend, Ty, was in Iceland, and she decided to drive out into the countryside. And she's in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden her car dies, and it's getting dark, and it starts to snow. And she said she's just sitting there, you know, thinking she's going to die here. And she went, help is on the way from place. And over the hill came a caravan of army jeeps.
Oh, come on.
And
come
they stopped
on.
And they started her car and she went on her way.
She manifested. She
That's
manifested
right.
the vision of the yeah. help.
Yeah. And she just sort of held, okay. Something's going to happen here. And, you know, one of the lines of the song is you don't have to know where the path you're on is leading. You just have to walk along. So there's faith involved. There's unlimited possibilities. And just to open your heart, open your mind, no matter how you've tried and failed, tomorrow you could turn and find that help is on the way from places you don't know about today. And it's, you know, all these things that when you're open to it, you see things. You take opportunities. You call people. You the phone rings, and it's to put people in that mindset. And you know, I love it because, of course, you know, the president has been saying "help is on the way." That's been his motto
true.
With the vaccine and stuff.
Yes,
and so it's something that's very in the culture. At the moment. And, you know, to know, like during COVID, to say, we're going to get through this. Something's going to happen. And
it did. I have to tell you, this vaccine is so remarkably miraculous to me.
Yeah.
That we have it a year, less than a year. We got it in January, less than a year from really the outbreak. I would never have imagined, I would have imagined that we would have to tentatively adjust and adapt to a new life, but I never would have imagined that we would have had a vaccine with such effectiveness.
And you know what
grateful.
I've heard, that people sort of who are reticent about it don't realize that it's not like they just said, oh, let's develop this and do it. These principles, the RNA and stuff like that, they've been researching this for 20 years. This
I know
is not
that.
Like they just...
I know.
Popped up with something and didn't test it. There's
no, I know because I've been doing the Accorda Scientific Excellence Award show for mm-hmm. 7 years, and so many of those winners were telling me about mRNA research that they were doing. So I was mm-hmm. very familiar with this.
Yeah, and so it's not like, oh, they didn't test anything. It's too soon. I mean, you know, we could have tested longer, but the value of...
Of getting it
you know,
to us.
Are you worried about the fire or what's in the fire extinguisher? You know, I mean...
Well, David Friedman, help us on the way. It's coming out on Amazon tomorrow.
Yeah,
and
buy it
I think
tomorrow,
we all need a few copies.
I get to be number one on Amazon.
Then you will be. Then you will be. David Friedman, I love you so much. I can't wait to see you.
Love you. Let's take a walk.
All right.
Okay.
David Friedman, the wonderful David Friedman. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show.